You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Here, you'll find answers to your questions about the Christian faith, the Bible, and trends in the church today, because truth matters. Hank is ready to take your calls, so get your place in line and join us on the show. Just call 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Our Battle for the Bible conference is now in the books, as is our word cruise. In fact, over the last couple of weeks, I've spoken about 21 times in a very short period of time, culminating in a number of messages I gave in Boston this weekend at an Iron Sharpens Iron conference, about 1,500 men. And I woke up Sunday morning in a hotel room and could hardly even remember where I was. Somehow or other, the Holy Spirit prompted me to get up, get dressed. I recognized that our flight would not leave until early afternoon. So I and Stephen Ross, my colleague in ministry who was traveling with me, got on a train and traveled to the heart of Boston. We got off the train and looked for a place of worship. We couldn't find any steeples. We saw some steeples that looked like steeples, but they were government buildings. And so we looked and looked and walked and couldn't find a church. And finally, I asked a man standing on a corner if he knew where we could find a church. His response, "Boston is lousy for churches." Well, we kept walking and eventually ran right into Park Street Congregational Church in the heart of Boston. We slipped into the sanctuary, and as we sat down, the pastor began telling the story of 350,000 men who were trapped behind enemy lines on the beaches of a Belgian town of Dunkirk. And as he told the story of what is now famously referred to as the miracle at Dunkirk, he talked about how this besieged army of 350,000 men transmitted a three-word cryptic message to the world. That three-word message was, "But if not." Those living in the shadow of the Bible may not understand the message, but the Brits, 70 years ago, did. It was a reference to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who chose death rather than prostituting themselves before the image of a pagan king. But if not. These words come right from the book of Daniel. "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." What an incredible passage of Scripture. But if not. Martin Luther King used this very cryptic message in a sermon in 1967 when he was 38 years old. But if not. He said that there are people who have if faith. If you will prosper me, O God, I will serve you. If you will give me good health, O God, I will serve you. If you will provide for all my needs, O God, I will serve you. And then he said there are those who have though kind of faith. Like Job, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Well, in the story of the miracle at Dunkirk, those three words galvanized the British people in a matter of hours. Boats of every description headed across the English Channel. At the risk of their very lives, they began the evacuation process of 350,000 men. The miracle at Dunkirk is a riveting reminder that we will serve God no matter what. That we will not, as Christians, live to be politically correct or prosperous or popular. That we will serve the Lord our God because he is worthy of reverence and worship and honor. And that is our commitment at the Christian Research Institute. We do what we do because truth matters. Not because it is politically correct, but because truth matters. And in an age in which we are capitulating, eternal truth and verities, and sacrificing them on the altar of relativism, we will not capitulate to the trends, even trends that are dragging the church into the shadow of the Bible, out of the reality of the Bible. But if not, those should be the watchwords for every one of us as believers, because we look not to mean temporary values, but to eternal verities. I'm going to say much more about this in a letter to our constituency in the very near future. Stay tuned for that, but right now we'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Vicki, listening in California on KKLA. Hi, Vicki.
Oh, hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. Good talking to you.
We sure missed you in Southern California. And I have a question here. We like to find out, what is the gender of God?
Well, from a biblical standpoint, God does not have gender. The Bible tells us that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. That comes from the first book of the Bible, the first chapter. And as God created both male and female in his image, he does not participate in one or the other gender, but rather, and here's the operative phrase, God transcends gender. So all of the descriptions in the Bible of God are mere accommodations to humankind. We have a hard time grasping God because God is infinite and we're but finite. So God gives us what are called anthropomorphisms or personifications that reveal his nature to us in ways to which we can relate. But yet, God is not male or female. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
I see. Very good. Thank you so much.
You got it. And I wrote about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. One of the things I point out there is that while the Bible uses masculine titles for God, such as Father and Son, it also employs feminine images for God, such as a mother and a midwife. His judgment of Israel, for example, is likened to that of a mother bear robbed of her cubs. But whether masculine or feminine, all these kinds of images are condescensions, heavenly condescensions to humanity, so that we might have some kind of way to relate to the infinite God that, quite frankly, transcends our kin. Again, does God have gender? A question that I answered in the Bible Answer Man, the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. By the way, for your gift of $100 or more, I'll send you a personalized copy. All proceeds go to the furtherance of this ministry as we meet the needs of believers, equipping them for making a difference for time and for eternity. You can order Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Norma in Kansas City, Missouri, listening on KCCV. Hi, Norma.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I don't know where I would be without your ministry.
Thank you.
Anyway, I do have a question, but I would like to say that the Word of Promise Bible is wonderful. I just got it. I've listened to the first four CDs, but what another thing about it I don't think you've ever mentioned is that it has a DVD in there that shows the actors and tells you how it came about. And I think that's really important, too. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing to have.
Thank you for mentioning that, because that is something I have neglected to mention, but it is something that you get when you get the Word of Promise.
Yes, yes. And I got the New Testament, and then later I got the Old Testament for Mother's Day. Oh, it's wonderful. My question is, I've been studying Leviticus about the high priest, and I don't know where I got this information that, and I don't even know if it's true. Did the high priest have a rope tied to him when he entered the Holy of Holies?
Answer, no. There's no evidence whatsoever that the high priest had a rope tied to his ankle so that if God struck him down when he entered the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement, people could pull him out of the Holy of Holies. That appears to be a legend because it is not found in the Bible, it's not found in the Apocrypha, it's not found in the Talmud, or any other ancient Jewish source. So we would say, if this were the case, there's no evidence that it is.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so glad you answered that question. I can quit passing that rumor around. Anyway, another thing is, will we be able to, did you record the Battle for the Bible?
Yes, it is completely recorded, and we're going to start offering some of those messages to our constituency in the near future.
I'll be
letting people know on the World Wide Web at equip.org and on the Bible Answer Man radio broadcast.
Okay, I'm looking forward to that. So thank you very much for your answer.
Thank you, Norma. Appreciate your call.
Thank you. Bye.
God bless you. I want to go back to the phone lines now and talk to Dwayne. He's listening in Brooklyn, New York, XM-170, satellite radio. Hi, Dwayne.
Hey, how you doing, Hank? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just had a question about a woman's, role in the church. I had a conversation with somebody whose opinion was that Paul, in his writings, marginalized women and their abilities, I guess you could say, and relegated them to kind of menial tasks in church. And so like I know some other Muslims who they disregard Paul's writings in the word of God. And I was wondering if it is true that women are to remain silent in the churches, as it says in 1 Corinthians 14:34, or am I reading that in a wooden literal sense? And is it true to an extent that Paul does kind of relegate women to a, not to say that he demeans them, but he relegates them to a non-essential role, kind of?
Yeah. Well, that's a really good question, and it's an important question, because we would say that the Bible is not racist, nor is the Bible sexist. And women in the culture of the first century were oftentimes treated as though they were almost non-human. They were on the lowest rung of the socioeconomic ladder. And men would treat women as chattel, and Jesus Christ comes into that context or culture, and he chooses women to be his disciples. Now, women in that culture were not literate, so the Apostle Paul, in his epistles, is doing something radical in saying that women should be able to learn to begin with, because this was not a prerogative of women in the culture. However, Paul is pointing out that until the women have learned, they, like men who are unlearned, ought not to teach or exercise authority. Now, how do I know that? You have to read Scripture in light of Scripture. Therefore, you see that 1 Timothy 2:11 is circumstantial. It's not a universal principle. Again, we know that because Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:4 gives instructions for women who pray or prophesy publicly in the church. So either Paul is schizophrenic or he cannot possibly mean that women have to be silent. Otherwise, why would he give them instructions for praying or prophesying? Prophesying in the sense of foretelling, exhorting the believers in the context of the church. So again, you have to, and you pointed this out in the prologue to your question quite correctly, you have to read Scripture in light of Scripture, read the Bible for all it's worth, and you'll find out that the Bible is anything but sexist. We'll be right back with more of your calls in just a moment. If you want to get in on the broadcast, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Be right back.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible. Hank has meticulously crafted this study Bible to help give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from him on the Bible Answer Man. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines and charts, an extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more, the Legacy Study Bible is now available in new styles. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Order your copy today. Call 888-7000-CRI. Look for it online at equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. Stay with us. The Bible Answer Man will continue. Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankronym series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankronym FEAT and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. It's the 21st century, and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. As we fight this battle for the Bible, remember that the regular prayerful and financial support of faithful friends like you is essential ammunition. Without you, we are impotent in the battle for the Bible, but with you, lives are being transformed. And for that, you have our deepest gratitude. To say thank you for standing with us in the fight for truth, Hank would like to send you his new message entitled The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse on DVD or CD. You can request your copy online at equip.org or by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to your questions. Next up, Johnny, listening on XM 170, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hi, Johnny.
Hey, Hank. It's an honor to speak with you today.
Thank you. Nice talking to you as well.
Real quick before I get to my question, I celebrated my 33rd birthday yesterday, and much to my surprise, my wife gave me the glow and the word of promise, Old Testament and New Testament, so it was a very exciting day for me yesterday.
You have a wonderful wife.
Yeah, I've bragged on your broadcast and talked about it so much, I guess she got tired of hearing me speak of it and just decided to get it for me.
you primed the pump a little.
Yeah, right. So my question for you is, and I have the complete Bible Answer book, but I'm just a little bit not sure of what you meant in the answer that, will every person have the opportunity to hear, you know, of Jesus? And I discussed this with my wife many, many times, and she can't specifically give me a verse, but she thinks there's somewhere in the Bible, and I've searched and can't find it, where it says that every man will eventually hear the gospel. And I'm talking about some indigenous tribe, maybe in South America. Will these people all have the opportunity to hear of, you know, Jesus' works?
Well, your wife is absolutely right. In fact, she's not only a wonderful wife in terms of how she remembered your birthday, your 33rd birthday, but also in what she told you. In fact, if you look at Acts chapter 20, it verifies what your wife told you, or let me see, it's not Acts chapter 20, it's Acts chapter 17, where the Apostle Paul is on Mars Hill, and he says, from one man God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them, the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. So we start with this idea that Paul is communicating. God places everyone in the exact times and places so that they can reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of them. And Jesus augments that understanding when he's talking to Nicodemus, and he says, light came into darkness, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. In other words, Jesus is pointing out that the problem is never that there's not enough light. God places us in exact places so that we can reach out for him and find him. Therefore, if we respond to the light he has given us, he will give us more light. And Paul elucidates this in Romans 1, 2, and 3, and I can alliterate this for you, because in Romans chapter 1, Paul talks about the light of creation, which is an outer light. And if we respond to the light of creation, then God will also give us the inner light. And that light is self-evident to all of humankind. It is the knowledge of God written on the tablet of our consciousness. So we have creation as an outer light and conscience as an inner light. And if we respond to the light of creation and the light of conscience, then Paul points out in Romans chapter 3, the third C, which is the light of Christ. So if we respond to light rather than loving darkness, then we will receive more light, and therefore we can have the light of Christ. Now, we suppose that the only way the light of Christ can come to people is through human agency, and that simply is untrue. That is the normative way in which light goes out into the world. But God can directly speak to people through visions. He can directly speak, even apart from visions, to the hearts of people so that they might know the light of Christ. So human agency is normative, but it is not necessary, in that God can reveal himself to anyone who is earnestly and diligently seeking after him.
Great. That clears it up for me, Hank. I appreciate it. I know you hear it all the time, but you answer a lot of questions and make me understand the Bible so much more, and I seek the knowledge constantly, and I'm trying to learn everything I can, and you just make it that much easier.
Well, bless you, Johnny. You're 33. I'm going to be 60 in July 18th. So you're half my age almost, and so just imagine what God can do in your life from this point on.
I know. It's wonderful. I thank you again and everything you do.
Thank you, Johnny. Good talking to you. God bless you. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Harvey in Peoria, Illinois, listening on WVEL. Hi, Harvey.
Hey, Dr. Hank. I want to thank you for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener, and I enjoy the show just immensely, and it's just been a blessing over the years to my spiritual growth. One thing I do, I have a bad habit of hanging out, debating and talking about the Bible and trying to promote the gospel. And I've come across some teaching here recently that I have some questions on about ex nihilo creation. Mm-hmm. And that leads into really a couple of things. But there's quite a few. I didn't really realize that it was that big of a debate in Christian circles about ex nihilo creation, about God creating basically starting with no substance. And I've always assumed, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I've always assumed that actually the Gospel of John, in talking about in the beginning, you know, with God and God being the Word, actually superseded the creation account of Genesis 1. And again, correct me if I'm wrong, but I've always just assumed that in the beginning there was nothing but God himself, and from that particular instance he spoke, and everything leapt into existence that does exist. Things that we see and don't see. So, but again, what's your insights on those things?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And not only are you right, but you're using the operative passage to underscore the point that you've just made, the point that God created ex nihilo, or out of nothing, because that's precisely what John is saying. And then he goes on to make the point that you just made. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then, writes John, through him, here's the operative phrase, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And then Paul actually clarifies or adds to this in Colossians chapter 1, he is before all things. So our presupposition, therefore, is that God creates ex nihilo out of nothing, and he is before all things. Therefore, all things come into existence, including matter, as a result of God's creative prowess.
Wonderful, wonderful. And a little caveat onto that, and maybe even a different, another question altogether, and you can decide whether to approach it. But John MacArthur actually teaches that creation would include the earth, or the universe and the earth, all existence at one time. I've always thought, under the impression, that maybe the universe was created first, and then the earth maybe secondly, or as a part of a subsequent creation. Am I on the line on that one, or do I need to adjust my insights?
Well, I don't think that we have encyclopedic information in this regard. I think what the Bible gives us in Genesis chapter 1 is not a chronology of creation, but rather a hierarchy of creation given to us in a memorable format so that we can remember God's creative prowess using the days of the week. So every day we can remember that it is the one who spoke and the universe leapt into existence who is due our worship and our honor and our praise, for he is the sovereign who created us and created all things. So here's what I think is really important. God has given us two books. Yes. He has given us the Bible, and he has also given us the book of nature, and we must become adept at reading both,
okay.
Both the book of nature and the Bible.
Mm.
Now, the Bible doesn't answer every question.
Yes.
I would argue that the Bible really doesn't give us the answer in terms of timing, sequencing, and so forth. But as we become more and more adept at reading the book of nature, particularly in an age of scientific enlightenment, we're elucidated with respect to how these things worked out, even perhaps from a chronological standpoint. But I think there are people asking questions of the text that the text isn't designed to answer, and supposing that there's a chronology going on in Genesis chapter 1, when in fact it's a hierarchy culminating in the crowning jewel of God's creation, which is humankind. As far as John MacArthur is concerned, I haven't heard what he said in this regard, but he is one of the finest Bible teachers on the planet today, so when he speaks, I listen very attentively. I just haven't heard him in this regard.
Yes, sir. Well, I certainly appreciate your insights, Hank, and I'll keep researching, but I really appreciate those answers, and it helps me out tremendously.
You got it, my friend. Thank you so much for not only the question, but the brilliant way in which you asked the question. God bless you. Back to the phone lines. We'll go to Rick now, and he's listening in Arkansas. Hi, Rick.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. My question is it okay to be for remarriage if you've been divorced? And what the circumstances that if it wasn't allowed or is allowed.
Yeah, that requires a little background, Rick. I think the presupposition, and there was a terrific article in the Christian Research Journal on biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage. It's the current edition of the Christian Research Journal, so if you don't have that, you probably want to get that. But here's the basic principle. God allows divorce only because of the hardness of our hearts. The optimal situation for human beings is to strive for reconciliation no matter what. We want to reconcile. That's the best of all circumstances. But if a unbelieving spouse leaves the relationship, the believer, according to Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, is not bound in that circumstance. But if the unbeliever wants to stay, then you shouldn't get a divorce. Now, the presupposition here is that you want to follow God's principles, which is to say that only believers will become united in marriage. Reason is if you're not both believers, then you're unequally yoked. And when you're unequally yoked, the plow doesn't make a very straight furrow. Rather, it makes a very crooked and uneven and unbalanced furrow, and the same thing is any relationship in which two people are not yoked together in Yahweh, the God of Israel, yoked together in faith and belief in the Yahweh of Israel, who has revealed himself in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So even if you are in a bad marriage, I mean, the ultimate is reconciliation and God using that marriage to rub the rough edges off of you. If two people are identical in a relationship, one of them is probably unnecessary. So God puts two people together, they have rough edges, and they rub the rough edges off of one another. So we shouldn't be cavalier about divorce. But again, if an unbeliever leaves the relationship, the believer is not bound, and therefore we cannot say that there's no possibility for remarriage. In fact, there would be a possibility for remarriage. But the ultimate is to seek reconciliation until that door is irrevocably closed. We'll be right back with more of your questions in just a moment. Please don't touch that dial.
In Ephesians 5, 15, 16, Paul admonishes believers to be very careful how you live, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Today, evidence abounds of the growing evil in our modern-day culture. False teachers and New Age cults continue to seduce millions with their empty promises and false philosophy. Subscribers to the Christian Research Journal know they will regularly receive timely information on the latest religious trends, as well as practical tips on dealing with the challenges to the Christian faith in a fallen world. To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org
or call us at 888-7000-274. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment. Do you use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI. We live in arguably the greatest civilization in the history of the world, and yet we could be looking at its very demise. Four horsemen of this modern-day apocalypse bring plagues that could mean the fall of this civilization. Hank Hanegraaff describes how each of these horsemen could bring down the very society in which we live and how we as Christians must live in the midst of this 21st century apocalypse in his special message titled, The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse. To equip yourself to live as a change agent for Christ in the culture rather than conforming to it, order your copy of Hank's latest message now on DVD or CD when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all of the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2. Plus, all new answers to some of today's toughest questions. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Before going back to our calls, a quick reminder that we need your help as we are making a difference, not just in the West, but also in the East. In the East, we have wildfire. In the West, apparently no fire. In the East, there are all kinds of people coming to faith in Christ, particularly in China, where you have over 100 million Christians in the persecuted church. And they obey more than they know. We know more than we obey. But many of those believers have come out of ancestor worship and Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam, folk religions, animism, And they do not have deep roots. So if you ask them who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for them, they can tell you. But if you ask them who Noah or Abraham is, they probably can't tell you. So they need to be strengthened and equipped. Otherwise, they fall prey to the burgeoning cults in the East. So we're strengthening the church in the East, and we are trying to take a model which is causing the church to replicate rapidly in the East and import it to the West so that we might again be ignited with the fire of passion for the things of God. And so we ask those that love the Ring of Truth, know that this is a ministry committed to doing what we do because truth matters, no matter what the cost, to stand with us prayerfully and financially. We really do need your help. If we were simply trying to be prosperous or politically correct, it wouldn't be as hard to raise funds. But when you tell it like it is, no matter what the cost, sometimes it hurts the people who are supporting the ministry, because you may kill one of their sacred cows. But we, of course, in a ministry that does the work of ministry because truth matters, shoot all sacred cows on sight. In other words, we're not going to do what we do because it's politically correct. We're going to do what we do because it's biblically correct. And we would use that moniker that I talked about at the beginning of the program, but if not, even if God does not prosper the ministry, we will still serve him faithfully. Sometimes God saves you in the midst of the fire, and sometimes God uses the fire to refine you, to get rid of the dross so you could be more like him. And so whatever God's purpose in the refining fire, we submit to his sovereign purposes in the process of reaching people for time and for eternity. So please stand with this ministry prayerfully and financially, if you will. You can join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team by giving each and every month. You can do so on the World Wide Web at equip.org. If you can give a special gift this month, it would be very, very helpful in keeping us on the stations that we are presently being heard on throughout the United States and Canada and indeed around the world. Remember, you can catch the broadcast on XM170 satellite radio, and you can get it 24/7 streamed on the World Wide Web at equipped.org. So check that out. And again, send in the most generous gift as quickly as you can. It would be deeply appreciated and used for the propagation of the message of hope. You can give on the World Wide Web again at equipped.org in a safe, secure fashion. We get immediate access to those funds and can put them to use immediately for the furtherance of the gospel. You can also give via the mail, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Amber, listening on Bot Radio in Missouri. Hi, Amber.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good talking to you.
Good. Thank you so much for taking my call.
My pleasure.
I have a question. I was with an individual for about 5 years, and we have recently split up, and I found out that he was actually seeing his coworker, and she is a married woman with a child. And I wanted to know, I've been listening to the Christian Bot Radio is what I listen to, and I've been listening to that for a long time. I received several messages that, you know, as Christians, whenever we see another Christian walking off the path, we are to say something or to do something to gently draw that person back to the light. And I just don't know biblically what standing point I have to do so, or considering the situation, if I should involve someone else so the message is not misconstrued from me.
Yeah, well, and I appreciate your sensitivity there, because obviously you're subjectively involved in this situation, and when you're subjectively involved, by definition, it's difficult to be objective in confronting someone in their sin. So, yeah, I mean, if God gives you the opportunity to do this, you want to do it with gentleness and with respect. But you can also pray that God brings circumstances and people into his life so that he will come to a true valuation of things. Because what he is doing is is detrimental not only to you and to that family, but also to the fabric of society. These are the very kinds of activities that wrench apart the fabric of society,
right.
that destroy the basic unit of society that gives society its strength, and certainly which unravel Christian testimony in the process.
Right. So in this case, you know, and that's another thing that I've tried to do, because, you know, with the conflicting information that I'm gathering, I mean, it's not necessarily conflicting, but in one sense, the Holy Spirit is the one to give conviction on an individual's, you know, person, not necessarily me, but I just don't know if we're called to, you know, stand up and say something about it, or if we are truly just to pray about it and just pray that the Holy Spirit comes upon him and brings people into his life, or if I'm really, you know, if I should bring somebody else biblically involved and have them speak to him. I just don't know.
Well, Amber, I don't think it's an either-or proposition. I think many cases like this would be solved through you praying that the Holy Spirit would bring people and circumstances into his life. Prayer is firing the winning shot. But
yeah.
If you have an opportunity to confront him in his sin, I would not preclude you doing that. I think what he is doing is, as I said, hugely detrimental, not only to a family, but to the fabric of society.
Yeah. And is there anything that you have as far as materials on this, or anything that I could reference?
Yeah. In fact, hang on, and we'll put some information into your hands in this regard.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it, Amber. Thank you so much for calling. God bless you.
You too.
I want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Penny in Oklahoma. Hi, Penny.
Hi. Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
I have a couple of questions, and I'll make them quick. And first of all, I want to tell you I'm thankful you're on the radio, and I'm on Social Security, but I'd like to be able to, you know, at least send $10 a month or something like that, you know. My first question is, when I was growing up, I grew up in Missouri, and I was always taught that when you lay with someone, you're married with them, or you're married to them. Is that true?
No, I don't think so. In fact, the problem with having sexual intercourse outside of marriage is that you are, in fact, now not making a commitment. That commitment is the first thing that establishes a marriage, and that's a commitment that you make before God and men.
Right.
You're committing that you're going to honor and cherish and love that woman until death do you part. To have sex with a woman prior to marriage shows no commitment whatsoever. It is an opportunity to engage in lustful behavior.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, and it's a horrible kind of a circumstance, because what happens is through marriage commitment, women are ennobled and empowered. And when a man has sex with a woman outside of a marriage, he can use her, abuse her, and then trash her. Which is to say, I don't have any necessity now to take care of you. And he can go on and ruin someone else's life. And in a marriage, you have a commitment. And that is what ennobles and empowers a woman. In other words, in my marriage, I have no possibility of any other option. However, if I had not made the vow before God and man, I would have other options. But I have no option other than my wife, and therefore I have to love her and cherish her. Even if she never could bring me another ounce of pleasure, I have to love and cherish and honor her. That's what ennobles and empowers women. That's the biblical precept, and unfortunately, people are wanting to have the privileges of marriage without the commitment that should come with marriage.
Yeah, and see, that shouldn't be allowed. Because, I mean, you know, if you're going to be together, you know, you should make it the way it's supposed to be in the Bible, you know, at least that's how I believe. And I have been through different churches and stuff, and had a lot of bad run-ins with them. I had a couple of preachers when they were as they talk about marriage and everything, they would misquote things, or they would add to it, or they'd subtract from it. And I told one pastor, I said, if you're going to teach God's words, you shouldn't take away from God's words, and you shouldn't add your own, because whatever you do, God's going to take from you, whatever you take from him, and whatever you add to him, he's going to add to you. And I said it could go either negative or it can go a positive. And I told him, I said, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and I've been baptized in the Pentecostal church. I've been baptized in the Baptist church, you know, and so I know the difference, and I do read my Bible, you know, and that just didn't sound right, you know, because, I mean, it's like, if you're married to every person you go to bed with, then you're going to be like that woman in the Bible who had, when she said she had many husbands, and when Jesus said, when he said something about go forth and sin no more or something like that, I don't remember exactly that verse,
but
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then in other churches, like the last church I went to, the co-pastor had the audacity to look straight at me and tell me I might be a hypocrite, but I'm closer to God than you are. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, okay, this is not the kind of church I want to be in.
Yeah, and well, I don't know the circumstances that you're communicating, but I can underscore the truth of what you said, that we should not add to or subtract from Scripture. In fact, that was the very presupposition that the copyists who copied the Bible from the ancient autographers had in their minds. They copied the Bible with reverential awe because they were aware of the words of Scripture. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to them the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes away words from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the holy city that are described in this book. I'm out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK.
When was the last time you visited us on our website? It's easy to find at equip.org. When you visit equip.org, you'll find links that will instantly connect you with the latest that the Christian Research Institute has to offer. Seeking answers to your most pressing questions? Click on the Research tab, type in your keyword, and you'll find a vast array of information on your topic. Looking for books and materials you hear about on the broadcast? Check out our convenient e-store. Connect with CRI on Facebook and Twitter, or read Hank's blog. You can also listen to current and past Bible Answer Man broadcasts. All this and more when you go to equip.org. Once again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to John listening on KFAX. Hi, John.
Hello, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith.
It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts.
Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org.